This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Enemies, scoffers, skeptics, atheists, lunatics, weirdos, and the sort of bad guys. And of course, all you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You've tuned in looking for Bradley today. He's off. I'm Tim Brown, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com. And for our Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warned you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God, not the Quran, not the Bhagavad Gita. Not the Mishnah or any other written works of men, but the authoritative word of God, the Bible, the Old and the New Testament. And I'll be filling in for Bradley today, live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, where it is sunny but cold. Our weather seems to be changing. There's a couple of things that you can be in this life to where, you can be absolutely wrong, and somehow you can still maintain your job. One is a politician, somehow that happens, and a meteorologist. One day you can have this 10-day forecast, everything's going to be sunny and balmy, and the very next day you can be calling for snow and ice and rain and everything else. And, boy, those are some jobs to have. I guess it's a love-hate relationship with those guys. Anyway, if you want to check us out online, you can go to sonsoflibertyradio.com or sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can also check out our Facebook pages at Sons of Liberty Radio and also Sons of Liberty Media. And if you want to follow Bradley online at Twitter, for whatever that's worth, Twitter is one of these things you have to actually, I guess, you have to be engaging. You have to write all kinds of little things on there. If you want to follow him on that, jump over to Bradley Dean 1, Bradley Dean 1 on Twitter, B-R-A-D-L-E-E, Dean 1 on Twitter. I tell you, I've really kind of knocked my head about some of these comments, this alleged comment that the president has made about certain countries. Okay, I've written my take on that. The obvious thing that even those who are attacking him over these comments are is that they often say that these people want to come to America for a better life. Well, wait a minute. If they're wanting to come from a better life, what does that make where they're coming from? What does that make that country? Now, I'm not for the use of certain language, but you know, I beat my head against the wall because men often, not all the time, but often, determine what is quote-unquote vulgar, okay? And I think that's why they're doing, I think that's why these people are doing it. The same people who use these terms are the ones attacking him for using the term relating it to other countries, which, let's just be honest, there are some countries in Africa, many of them, that don't have indoor plumbing, and they literally go to the bathroom in a hole, and that's why he's used the term he's used. Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with necessarily the comment to be descriptive of what's going on there. But listen, we all recognize that people come to America seeking a better life from wherever they came from, usually, not all the time. Some people just merely want to translate for business. They want to transplant, excuse me, I should use the word transplant, for family reasons. There's a wide variety of reasons that people come to America. Some come to America for schooling, or a lot of different things. But usually when they're coming for something better, okay, than whatever they have. So I don't see the problem with the terms. I mean, look, I could tell you growing up in a house in the 70s, that if you use the word crap, okay, which often everybody uses, my mom would have said she would have had a fit over that. So we choose different words. The Bible uses the word dung, and everybody loses their mind over this. Well, who determines that? I mean, the scriptures haven't determined what word is what and should be used or shouldn't. So, I mean, if you wanted to use the Greek, it would be the skubalon, right, that you would be using. And that sounds really bad. That sounds closer to what President Trump had used. But anyway, there are several articles up on Sons of Liberty Media addressing this issue and why it's being used and why it's being used even to attack Trump and some of the comments he's been saying. Now, look. To listen to Sons of Liberty Radio, this isn't a radio station that seeks to defend Trump. It seeks to uphold the law, right? It seeks to uphold biblical law as well as constitutional law. So I'm not giving anything that's a defense of Trump. I'm just simply saying sometimes the arguments get silly, and they come right in time for all of these renewals for mass surveillance on us as the American people. They come in time for violations of the Constitution and our rights. Via what is called law, but is not. It's pretended legislation because it undermines the law. And you can't, this is something I've been trying to tell people. Stop thinking in this case law mindset. Case law is only to deal with things that are not explicitly laid out in law and you're having to use principles to determine it. What is very explicit, you deal with as it's explicit. For instance, Second Amendment says you don't infringe on the rights of the people to keep and bear arms. Guess what? And it also says that Congress has the right to legislate. So I was asked by Gun Owners of America to comment on the ATF's thinking about banning bump stocks. Where in the Constitution does anybody in the executive branch, including the ATF, which isn't mentioned in the Constitution, I think it's an unconstitutional agency, have the authority to ban anything? They don't. They don't. Legislation is to be done in Congress, and that's very limited, and they don't have the ability to ban arms of any kind or the parts of those arms. I mean, that's just not part of the authority it's given them. Now, if you want to correct me on that, feel free to call in 1-866-582-9933, but you won't correct me because I'm going to challenge you to point me to the Constitution that says they have a right to do that. And we're going to have a guest coming up, so you're going to have to make it real quick if you're going to do it. But he'll be on here in just the next break, and we're going to talk about this new tax reform, this new tax law that's been put into place, and see, are you really getting what you're being sold, America? I have a real problem with income taxes anyway, but there is a lawful income tax under the law, but our guest is going to talk to us about that. He's going to tell us, are you getting what you're being told from the conservatives? Did you really win anything on this? So stick with us on the other side of the break. We're going to have Dan Peel with us answering questions about the new GOP tax bill and our tax law. So stay with us. And if you want to call, 1-866-582-9933. See you on the other side.
With every passing year, we here at the Sons of Liberty renew our dedication and resolve to reach the lost. For us, that means long hours in the office, long hours on the road, extreme dedication, and sacrifice. But we are willing to do it because we know it needs to be done. Our family has devoted our lives to this purpose, and we are asking you in a small way to do the same. Our Sons and Daughters of Liberty program is a way in which people just like you can join together with us in support of this cause. How does it work? Very simply. All you do is go online to sonsoflibertyradio.com and click on the Spread the Word button on our landing page. From there, you can decide how much you'd like to give each month and then simply fill out the information at the bottom of the page. Whether your monthly donation is large or small, remember, every gift matters and helps us in reaching the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't delay. Please join together with us in this cause as we speak the truth and let our actions demonstrate our love. Together, we can truly reach this nation for Christ.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0747 or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
Hi, I'm Ray Comfort from The Way of the Master and from Living Waters. I love Bradley. I love his passion for the lost, particularly for today's youth. His background in rock music gives an instant rapport with his generation. And so we need more Christians just like Bradley.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com. sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Welcome back to the Friends of Liberty. If you'd like to chime in at any time, we're going to have a guest on with us talking about the new GOP tax law that's gone into effect. And if you've got any questions for him, please give us a call, 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. I want to welcome Dan Pila to the Sons of Liberty from TaxHelpOnline.com. Welcome to the show, Dan. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Tim, thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, we're going to talk about the new GOP tax law. And now this, it always amazes me. Now, you're a guy who deals with this. I don't. I admit I do some reading on certain things and this, that, and the other. I've looked into the tax code. I've looked into, you know, Supreme Court stuff and this, that, and the other. I even read your Joshua from your place also sent me something to read that I looked over as well. And everybody, it doesn't matter what side of the spectrum you're on, everybody hates taxes. Everybody does. Nobody likes them.
True.
Well, yeah, let's be honest. We work hard for that money, and it's like the government thinks they have a right to our money, the fruit of our labor. And so whenever this comes up, it's kind of that kind of pitch that comes, isn't it? It's to say, well, government, you know, we want to give you more of your money back. Well, you didn't have a right to take any of it in the first place is kind of the question. So why don't you just give us all of it back and do it the way it was before we even had an income tax and stick constitutional spending and limited government? That's me. I'm very simplistic in that. I think that would solve a lot of our problems.
Well, Tim, I can't disagree with that. For fundamentally, I think you're exactly right, that if we had a federal government that limited its spending to the Article 1, Section 8 parameters that the forefathers put in the Constitution, then about 80% of the federal revenue, maybe not quite that much, let's say 75% of all of the spending that the federal government does would go away. And so you would see, of course, a massive reduction of your tax liability as a result of that. And even if we can get past that, even if we can say, well, you know, we need every single nickel of federal spending that there is, which of course you'd never sell me on that idea. But even if you could do that, we still have the question of how the federal government collects the money. And I'll tell you what, if, and I've said this before, if Satan himself put together a tax bill, I don't think, or a tax law, I should say, not just this bill, but a tax law in general, it couldn't be any worse than what we have now with our graduated income tax and the 4 million words that are in the Internal Revenue Code right now. It's completely deplorable, and it's completely perverted away from the standards and the vision that the founders had for collecting the revenue. So even if we can get past the spending part, we still have to address the question of what kind of a tax system is better suited for a constitutional republic than the graduated income tax that we have now.
And I agree with you, and you made mention of the Satan came up with the tax. Well, you know, I'm a guy who's back to the Bible. I think when people rejected the law of God and God's rule as themselves, and they want a king like everybody else, well, guess what? You're going to get the taxes just like everybody else. And I think that it is satanic in a certain sense, in the fact that it's not something that God levied out there. God had obviously a tithe that placed to take care of the priests and poor and the things of that nature, different aspects. But even if you didn't pay it, the only thing was you didn't get blessed by God. It wasn't like they took you to jail or any of those kinds of things. I mean, there was nothing that was done like that in Israel. And there are some issues like that. But you're right. There's a two-step issue in dealing with that. But what we're going to talk about today, now I'm glad you're on board with me on that, because I think that's where we need to aim. Because you remember when Mitt Romney was saying, he says, well, 47% of the American public don't even pay income taxes. And everybody was so upset with him over that. And I said, they should be upset saying, why is 100% of the American people not paying any income tax? Why is 100% of them not paying it? Why are we
Romney got vilified for making that comment, but the fact of the matter is that he was probably shy in his number. You know, we've got a situation today, prior to this tax bill, where the top 1% of income earners were paying over 60% of all the taxes that were paid, and the top 10% are paying about 75% of all the taxes that are paid. So we've got a tax system that's disproportionately loaded on one small segment of the income earners, and I'll tell you, just from an economic standpoint, never mind a scriptural standpoint, just set that aside for a second. Never mind the constitutional implications. All set that aside for a moment. Just economically speaking, it's an unsustainable model. You cannot continue to take more and more people off the tax rolls and then load a disproportionately higher burden on those that are paying, and expect that those people who are earning that money are going to continue to earn the money. Because, you know, at some point in time, Tim, people throw up their hands and they say, what's the point of earning more when I don't get to keep any of it? And this is what people need to understand about tax laws. You know, again, forget the scriptural implications for a second, forget the constitutional implications for a second, just focusing on the economics of this. The fact of the matter is, Tim, you don't raise revenue by raising rates. You raise revenue by spreading the base, because here's an economic rule of law that people need to understand, and that is what you tax, you get less of. So when you tax income and production, and you tax income and production in graduated rates, in other words, the more you make, it's not just that you pay more, you pay proportionally more because the rates go up. When you do that, you get less income and production. And so taxes have consequences, just like in the economy, just like all behavior has consequences. Imposing taxes has consequences. And when you raise those tax rates, you discourage income, earning, and production, and that slows the economy and it hurts everybody. So if you want to raise revenue, the rule is that you always reduce the rates and you spread the liability out across the base as wide as you possibly can. That allows the rates to stay low, gives everybody an incentive to keep government spending down, because now everybody's got skin in the game, Tim. See, that's the thing. The other problem with taking people off the tax rolls is now you've got people who are voting at the polls for federal programs that they never have to pay for.
No, I totally agree. And I think that was one of the issues that was early on And we will get to the law here in a second. That's the new law. But I think that's one of the things where they talked about property owners, you know, and I've often talked about heads of household because, you know, are they going to make a decision that's in the best interest of their family, whether they have a wife and two kids or whether they have a wife and 10 kids or whether they're a single mother with a child or three children or whatever the case may be? They're going to be the ones who are determining. I mean, they're going to be property owners. If they're property owners, they, you know, they're the ones who determine who those elected officials are and this, that, and the other, or those representatives. But again, you know, I wish we were shooting for the stars the way the other side does. They shoot for the whole pie. If they
well,
get
they
a
do.
Piece or crumbs, then they'll take it.
and the other thing, Tim, is they never give up. You know, they shoot for the sky, and you know, and if they're shooting for a mile, let's say, and they only end up with a foot, well, okay, they shoot for the mile the next time, and they get another foot, and then another foot, and then another foot, and then pretty soon it's 100 yards, and then pretty soon it's a half a mile, and before you know it, our liberties are gone, and there's just no question about that. Now, you know, you talk about the property owners being voters, and of course that was a model, you know, that was quite common in the colonial era of our country. But the fact of the matter is, Tim, people that have wage jobs are property owners, even if they don't own real estate. They own the fruits of their labor. They own the results of their industry, right? When you go to work in the morning and you get a paycheck at the end of the week or the end of the month, you are a property owner. And what happens is the problem is that this tax policy that we have for the last 40 years has been taking more and more people off the tax rolls on the one hand, all right? So to the extent that we have property owners out there that aren't paying any taxes, well, they don't have any incentive to keep government spending down. But the other problem we have, and this is probably a bigger problem, is that the more government benefits are being doled out at the federal, state, and local level, the more incentive you have for people to just not work. If you can, Tim, if a person can live a $50,000 lifestyle without working because of the government benefits, why would they ever go get a job? Because if you go get a $50,000 job, if you get a $50,000 job, you're living a $30,000 lifestyle by the time all the taxes are done.
Yeah, and let's take that to a biblical perspective. They're living off the fruit of other people's labor with stealing, and that's what this all really comes down to. It's really stealing, and that's why
when
people think they have the right for it.
Yeah, when you take money from somebody.
We're up against the break here.
Sure, go ahead.
I'll let you finish your thought on the other side of this, and then we're going to jump right into the law on the second half of the show, okay? All right, stick with us, people.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Sons of Liberty. If you want to call in at any time, 1-866-582-9933, 1-866-582-9933. Please stick to the topic. We're not doing Chinese buffet. We're talking taxes, and specifically we're going to fix and open up the conversation to the new tax law. Now, Dan, before the break, we kind of ran up on it, kind of quick, so I apologize for that. But you had a thought. Did you want to finish that thought before we get into some questions about the new tax law?
Well, no, we can go right into the new tax law. I was just going to just continue to spin on along the lines we were. But why don't we just go ahead and shift gears and talk about the new law here?
Yeah, okay. All right, that sounds great. Let's see. We're told that this is just a tax cut for the rich. Is that true?
Well, that's absolutely not true. First of all, any time there's any kind of a reduction in tax, Tim, we hear the same whining from the left, no matter what the law says, because they don't even bother to read the law before they start putting out their seven-word bullet points, for the media to lap up as if it were true. You know, tax cuts for the rich, that's not even seven words. But the fact of the matter is this is not tax cuts for the rich at all. The fact that the matter is that every income tax bracket gets a tax cut, and as a matter of fact, the largest cut is for those with incomes between about $50,000 to $85,000 a year, what we call the heart of the middle class. They're going to see cuts ranging from 11% to 36% of their tax liabilities, with the greatest relief coming at the bottom end of the scale. So the lesson here, Tim, is that the largest cuts go to the lowest income groups in the country here. And as a matter of fact, about another 4.5 million people on the very low end of the economic spectrum will be taken off the tax rolls entirely. Now, we talked about that before the break. I'm not in favor of that, neither are you. And there's good economic reasons not to support that. But the fact is, that's what's happening. So these are not tax cuts for the rich by any stretch of the imagination. This is an across-the-board tax cut, and it's going to lead to the folks in that income category seeing about a 3 to 4% increase in their after-tax income. So you know, obviously, the more you pay in taxes, the less you have to spend for yourself, right? And so when you pay less taxes, you're going to have more money to spend for yourself, and that's going to be the case with these folks in those income ranges.
Okay. All right. Now, who gets the biggest benefit out of all of this?
The single biggest benefit in terms of cutting the tax rates are for corporations. You know, the corporation tax rate is going from 35% down to 21%, and that's, Tim, I think that's the thing that's causing, well, it doesn't matter what the facts are. The left never cares about what the facts are. You know that. But it is certainly one of the things that's adding fodder to the claims that the tax cuts are only going to benefit high-income people and corporations and so on. The corporate tax rate goes from 35% down to 21%, and that's a huge deal. But the fact of the matter is, Tim, and this is another economic reality, as far as I'm concerned, the corporate tax rate should be zero. It should be absolutely zero. And the reason is because corporations don't pay taxes anyway. People do. Anytime you put a tax burden on a corporation, people end up paying that tax, and it happens in one of three ways. Either the owners of the corporation pay the tax in the form of reduced return on their investment, which of course leads to discouraging people from making investments in corporations when it takes them longer to get their money back. So owners pay the tax. The second thing that happens is the employees of the corporation pay the tax in the form of reduced wages or reduced benefits or even reduced workers, a reduced number of workers. You know, high tax rates can lead to layoffs where employees pay the tax by losing their jobs. And the third way that people pay the tax is through the customers of the corporation. The consumers pay the tax in the form of higher priced goods and services or goods and services that are sold for the same price but have a less or substantially reduced quality. So corporations, Tim, never pay the tax. People pay the tax. And that's why we should come to recognize that from an economic standpoint, the corporate income tax rate should be zero.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. Some of the things about corporation, I would kind of roll back some kind of view to corporation before, in masking it behind the people, rather than the individual themselves. But I get what you're saying there. I mean, corporations, whether they're a small corporation, an individual with maybe one or two employees, or whether it's massive, I mean, they are in fact creating jobs.
Yes, no question about it. No question about it.
Yeah, and
let's get back to what I said earlier about
sure.
about the economic reality of tax burdens. What you tax, you get less of. And so if you're going to put taxes on corporations in connection with their earnings, you're going to get less corporate earnings, which means you're going to have fewer employees working for corporations. And yet at the same time, we're arguing that we want economic stability. We want solid job growth. You know, we want people to have reliable jobs that pay a living wage. Well, you can't have that when you're taxing the pants off a corporation. You just can't have both. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. And then there's other things that we find ourselves in this whole tax scheme. I call it a scheme because I think that's what it is. I was pretty transparent from the first. I think we need to get rid of it on our own people, this whole idea of an income tax on our own people. But especially, I mean, 2018 was a year we were talking about, what, 4, 5, 6 years ago concerning Obamacare.
Right.
Now,
right.
What about that penalty? What about this, what is it, it's the HIT? Help me with that.
Yeah, it's called the shared responsibility penalty, Tim, is what
okay.
You're talking about. This is the penalty
yes.
for not having government-approved health care for yourself and your family. Now, there's actually two different penalties under the Internal Revenue Code, so let's talk about both of them just very briefly. The first one was the so-called employer mandate, and this is the one that requires large employers that have a certain number of employees that are working a certain number of hours per week to offer, quote-unquote, affordable coverage to every single one of those employees. That's the employer mandate, and if the employer did not offer that coverage to its employees at a suitable level, at a suitable price, then the employer was penalized for that, okay? So that's the employer's mandate. The individual mandate required that individual citizens go out into the marketplace and buy themselves insurance, and if they couldn't afford the insurance in the free market, quote unquote free market, which is, that phrase is a joke in and of itself when it comes to medical care. We all know that.
Yep.
But if they couldn't get affordable coverage in the quote unquote free market, then they could go to, the so-called marketplace, where government-sponsored packages were available in Minnesota. We've got MinCare and certain other things that are available here, and then most of the states around the country have them. And so federal government had a website to do this, and so you had to buy the insurance there. And if you didn't have the insurance for your family for all 12 months out of the year, then there was a penalty that the individuals paid. Now, under this new tax law, that penalty is repealed. Not the employer mandate, that's still in the law. The individual mandate is now repealed, and so there will be no further penalties for not having adequate insurance coverage for your family. Now, that doesn't mean Obamacare is repealed, because it wasn't, but the tax penalty was.
Yes, absolutely. And we could have an argument about that, about where taxes are supposed to start, and how Obamacare was a shell bill and this, that, and the other, to really get to that. I wish somebody would bring a lawsuit to just end that by bringing that to pass as far as what the Constitution
is. Well, there were all kinds of lawsuits to challenge that, Tim. The problem is the lawsuits failed. And, people ask me this question all the time. Well, why can't you just sue the IRS for this or sue the IRS for that, or, challenge this or the Fourth Amendment? They just go down the list, right? Well, the short answer to the question is just about every single one of these arguments that you can possibly think of has been raised against the IRS at some point in history, in some cases, multiple times, and the reason that the IRS continues to chug along and the income tax continues to chug along is because the courts don't recognize the merits of these lawsuits against them. I wrote a paper, it's available for free on my website. I wrote a paper called A Monument of Deficient Wisdom, and anybody who's a constitutional student who likes to read about constitutional issues will really enjoy reading my paper, A Monument of Deficient Wisdom. And what it is my constitutional analysis of the income tax, and what I do is I show how essentially every single component of the Constitution that was established specifically to ensure individual liberties has been eviscerated by a Supreme Court decision in the name of collecting taxes. And I make the point in the paper that even though the courts have sometimes even recognized that these provisions are an offense to the Constitution, but their response is, hey, we need the money. And so as long as we need the money, that's the primary concern, not your constitutional rights. And so this is the problem that we have, Tim, ultimately, is the courts are unwilling to show the guts required to stand up and say, this is illegal, this is unconstitutional, and we're not going to continue with it.
Well, I want to ask the question that I know our founders would ask after you just said what you said. And that, what is our Boston Tea Party moment? When do the American people say, okay, you're acting unconstitutionally, you won't hear us, you're going to say, to heck with your rights, we need the money. When are we going to say enough is enough and just ignore what they're saying because they're ignoring what we laid down to chain them to that. I mean, I'm not advocating a revolt. I'm just simply saying there has to be a place where the righteous people say, you're the one violating the law, not us.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are having a positive impact on the future of this country we all love so much. If you have not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you today to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Call 1-866-233-0777. Or online at sonsoflibertyradio.com. Be a part of the team that brings responses like this.
This is Paul Cornelius with Days of Noah Ministries on the cutting edge of creation ministries today. And I'm happy to say to you that I enjoy Bradley Dean, who's right on with everything, including the truth that we're needing desperately in America today. I listen to Bradley Dean and Sons of Liberty all the time, and I think you should too.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did. We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever. Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to Sons of Liberty. The final segment here, 1-866-582-9933. We've got Dan Pilla on the line. Dan, I apologize. I was looking at the clock, and I read the number wrong, and I thought it was 30 seconds out, and I was right on the time. But, you know, some of the stuff you were saying, I asked because going like, okay, how would the founders view these things? What would they do in these situations? And, again, I'm not calling for any violence or revolt or any of these things. But what I am saying is if we're in agreement that they are acting unlawfully, and by that they're acting unconstitutionally, and I think they're acting unbiblically too, which the Bible, in my estimation, is above the Constitution. The Constitution is a subservient to that. You know, how would they deal with these things? I mean, are they just going to continue to let the people, let these representatives, who are very small in number, and I'll tell you real quick, I'm about to write on ratifying the original First Amendment. For people who don't know that, go look it up. Original First Amendment was to make representatives for every 50,000 people rather than every 250,000 people, and we would immediately have 6,500 representatives instead of 500 that could be easily controlled, then piggyback on that.
Let me comment on that, Tim. I don't mean to cut you off, but
that's okay. Go ahead.
I am not against having more representatives than fewer representatives. You know, 1,000 is better than 500, 2,000 is better than 1,000. I agree with that completely. But here's what the problem is. It doesn't make any difference whether you have one representative or 1,000,000 representatives if they are ignorant of our constitutional system of government, if they don't understand the history of America, and if they don't understand fundamental economics. It doesn't make any difference how many you have. The problem we have right now is virtually all of, with a handful of exceptions, of the representatives in Congress and our various state legislators believe that the government is there to provide benefits to citizens. They think that's the primary purpose of government. They do not understand what the legitimate function of government is as expressed by the Declaration of Independence and as expressed by the various documents of the founders during the founding era and before. The only legitimate function of government, and this is consistent with Romans 13, with the scriptural concept of government, the only legitimate function of government is to protect the life, liberty, and property of its citizens from invasion through force or by fraud from other individuals or from foreign interests. That's the only function government has. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then the next clause says, governments are instituted among men to protect these, to guarantee these rights. So the rights don't come from government, they come from God. Government is there to protect the rights, and that's the only function of government that's legitimate. And so now you get in the business of having government be a nanny to protect people from themselves and to provide all these benefits to people who choose not to work. A lot of people need help. We're not talking about not helping people who need help. We're talking about how to help people who need help. That's a different conversation. But the fact of the matter is that the federal government never had, does not have as its responsibility or function to do these things that have been usurped over the last 70 or 80 years.
No, I agree. And that's something that comes down, you know, and we can go off on these rabbit trails, and I don't want to do that. I'm trying to do this tax thing.
I thought we were talking about the tax law.
Well, we are. But, and if you really want to talk about that, I mean, we're getting down these things, and we're saying, well, what they can and can't do according to the Constitution, not according to what some judge somewhere, some one guy says, a nine-panel judge says, or this, that, and the other. We're talking about what the Constitution itself says. And, you know, I've often talked about the agencies that are used. The IRS is one of them. They're not there to enforce the law. Our Constitution says, I mean, the people don't like this. They've gotten a bad rap and everything. But the Constitution says Congress is there to call up the militia. And they've gotten a bad name. But the militia is there to enforce the law of the Union and to repel the invasions and all insurrections and all these things. But where do you really see the militia at? You don't. You don't see the militia there. And this kind of comes to an issue, you know, that ties into this. We can bring that in. But I want to stick with the tax law because we can go off and we're running out of time here. But I think that more and more that I talk to you, I think we're of the same mind as to what the Constitution says and how that. But it's like, man, we need a solution.
But this gets to your question earlier, Tim, and that is, you know, sure. What do you do about it? You know, the fact of the matter is with the way the law is set up to function, the individual citizen is going to have a very, very, I would argue, no capacity to be effective at any level through what you might call civil disobedience. I think you're tilting at windmills if you do that, and the history of the tax protester movement has proven over and over again that is not only is a waste of time, but it's economically catastrophic for an individual's family. That's not to say that something should be done, but I will tell you this, and I've said this all along, I was integrally involved in the debate in the 1970s 70s over whether we should abolish the income tax, the graduated income tax, and go to an alternative tax system. I actually wrote a book in 1991 or 92 called How to Fire the IRS, which was all about abolishing the income tax and going to an alternative tax system. So I was integrally, and in fact, that book sparked the national debate on whether we should abolish the system entirely and what alternatives we should go to. But I've come to the conclusion that Congress is never going to do the right thing for the right reason and repeal this income tax law in favor of some alternative, such as, for example, a national retail sales tax, a consumption tax. Congress isn't going to come to its senses. However, this tax law will become unenforceable when it becomes too unwieldy, and we are reaching that point right now, Tim. We are getting to the point where more people are in trouble with the IRS than ever before, and the IRS has gotten to the point where, because of the burdens that are put on them by Congress to enforce this and administer that, and not the least of which was dumping the responsibility for administrating Obamacare on the shoulders of the IRS without the manpower and without the money to do it, the IRS is collapsing under its own weight. All right, so when we got a tax bill, or a tax law, I should say, that's causing the government to implode because of its scope and complexity, and has reached to the point where tens of millions of people cannot comply because of its scope and complexity and financial burdens, that's when the law is going to be changed.
Well, we can hope so. I'm definitely of the opinion that the closer government is to the people, the more just it is. Now, that's not always.
Yeah, no question. No question about that.
But when you put these people in a centralized place in D.C. and you do this, this is something that we should have learned from history. And away from the people, they're going to be corrupt. They are. And I'm just going to say it openly. I have no problem with D.C. collapsing because we don't need D.C. in order to live our lives. We don't.
Well, we don't need most of D.C. to live our lives. That's true, and this is one of the reasons why.
We don't need any of it to do that. I mean, we live. Look, a human existence has been around for thousands of years and didn't have D.C. involved in it. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't some wisdom in that. Now, I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, most of us even think about D.C. except about what they're trying to get from us or what rights they're trying to infringe on us right now. But if I bring down the tax law right now, the new one that came out, and I ask you, Dan Peter, guy who looks at taxes, who looks at tax law, and I ask, is this a good law? Is it a bad law? Or is it sort of 50-50? What do you say to that? And we've got about a minute and a half, so fill it with words.
All right. Okay. So I'll tell you. The bottom line is this: as far as the law goes, Tim, it's a good law. Let's call it what it is and identify what it is not. All right. It is not tax reform. All right. They call this the most sweeping tax reform bill in 30 years. It's not tax reform, Tim. It's just more of the same tinkering around the edges, tinkering with this, tinkering with that. Okay. So it's not reform. It is, however, a tax cut. And that's what it was. That's what it was intended to be from the start, and that's what it is. Everybody is going to get a tax break, and as I said at the beginning of the program, those in the lowest segments of those in the lowest segments of the income earners are going to get the biggest tax cut. So that's just the bottom line right there.
Okay. All right. Well, we're up against the break here, or not the break, but the end of the show. And Dan, I want to thank you for being on the Sons of Liberty. And your website is taxhelponline.com, is that correct?
That's right, taxhelponline.com. It's all one word, no spaces of any kind, taxhelponline.com. If you're having problems with the IRS, I can help you. Go to taxhelponline.com.
Okay, thank you, Dan Pilo. We appreciate you seeing us. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And in 23 hours, Bradley will be back to talk with you then. Until then, we'll see ya.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.